Thank you, Mixed Quartet. That's a new group right there. At least it's a new group because Brother Ingram was added to that group tonight. God bless you. Thank you for your preparation and singing. And I hope you've had a good day at church. I thoroughly enjoyed our time together today. I always enjoy coming to church. And I always love coming to church and listening to folks give testimony. About what God's done in their lives, and thank you. Don't ever think that you're in positioning me by sharing a testimony of what God has done. I always love to hear God doing wonderful things in the people of God and within the church. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight, if you would, and join me again in Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to attempt to finish tonight what I started last Sunday night. And if you're visiting with us, our studies on Sunday night and the preaching has been around character under construction, about developing Christian character, how that God's will is after we get saved for our lives to be conformed to the image of His Son, that our character be conformed to the image of Christ, that our life be conformed to the image of Christ, that our love and everything that we do be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Last Sunday night, we don't stand just yet. Let me just give a little background for those that are visiting right quick. We learned from our scripture reading here that Jesus taught His disciples multiple ways. If you'll remember last week, I covered several ways. You remember Jesus taught His disciples by parables. And He taught them through short stories that have a biblical truth. Then He taught them by live illustrations. I gave you illustrations, like remember when He took them to the temple and He pointed out the widow as she gave her few mites, and the Pharisees who gave their great offerings, and they did it because they wanted to be seen. And so he did. He taught them by live illustrations. But then he also taught them by example. And I gave you several examples there how Jesus taught. And the greatest example that he taught them by was the example of the cross. Remember when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Boy, what a great lesson for us to learn. And so he taught them in multiple ways. And the subject matter of our study beginning last week is acquiring a teachable spirit. The character trait of developing a teachable spirit. Now let me say this before we stand and read. Those without a teachable spirit will hinder their growth and progress in their Christian life. The Christian life, listen, it doesn't require, it demands a teachable spirit. If we do not have a teachable spirit, we will not grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. You will never fulfill what God's will is, perfect will for your life, and accomplish that will in your life. Now, with that said, let's stand together. Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to begin reading in verse number 30. And then I want to go over a few things here that that we learned from this passage from last week. Solomon says, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it, the field, was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down." Now I want you to notice the sequence that he used to gain wisdom. Now let me remind you what I said last week. When Solomon prayed for wisdom and God gave him wisdom, Solomon didn't go find it somewhere in a hope chest. Solomon didn't go, listen, he wasn't sitting in his chair and God says, "Listen, I'm going to drill a hole in your head and I'm going to pour a bottle of wisdom in there and seal it up for you." It didn't happen that way, folks. You know how Solomon got wisdom? He got it the same way you and I can get it. He asked God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And you know what God said? He would give wisdom to us. Solomon acquired wisdom through the same process. And notice how he acquired it, the sequence. When he walked by the field, he says, "I saw," verse 32, "and considered it well." He said, "I looked upon it," and it was only after he saw, consider, and look, did he, notice the last few words, that he received, what church? Instruction. He did not gain the instruction, he did not gain wisdom until a sequence of things he went through. Then he gained wisdom. See, here's what we want to do. We want wisdom to come to us when all we have to do is look. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking because Solomon did that. But he said, "I saw something caught my attention and I walked by this field." You know why? Because the field was abnormal, folks. A vineyard is not supposed to be grown over with thorns and nettles. It's supposed to be producing fruit, right? He said, "So I noticed right away, I saw something different about that field." Then he noticed that he's in the sequence. He said, "I considered it well." He said, "I looked at it." He said, "I thought about it and I gave thought to the situation." And then he said, "I looked upon it." He said, "You know what? I took a second look. I looked into it again," except the next time that he looked at it, he said, "I considered it. Why is this field in this condition? What did this keeper of this vineyard do to cause or not do to cause this vineyard to turn into the way that it is right now to be non-productive?" He saw, he considered, he looked, and then he received instructions. That is the sequence that we are to follow if we're going to gain wisdom from God. See, here's what we want to do. Wisdom, your Bible contains a lot of wisdom. But sometimes God wants to teach you through real life experience. He wants to teach you by going by the field of those who have put drugs in their veins and poured alcohol down their throat and have, listen, messed their bodies and their lives up. He wants you to see something like that, consider it, look and say, "What caused that person to become like that?" I'll tell you what caused that person to become like that. Slothfulness. And we're to consider it, look at it, and then determine, how can I keep from being like that? And I want to take these scriptures tonight and continue on in our study of acquiring a teachable spirit. Now, Father, meet with us now in these few moments that we have together, and we'll certainly give all the glory and praise to you. Thank you for Jesus and for your love and care. And now, Holy Spirit, we just expect you to do something tonight and teach us, we pray, and guide us in truth. We'll give all the glory for the outcome of this service in Christ's name. Amen, and you can be seated. Now, where we left off in our studies last week in Solomon's Proverbs, when you go back and you read the book of Proverbs, and you can even slip into the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember in the book of Ecclesiastes? That's the reason when you go read the book of Ecclesiastes, you know the same guy penned that penned Proverbs. Because Ecclesiastes is the final result. In other words, all the information has been tabulated from what he had learned in Proverbs, and here's what he came to the conclusion. All is vanity. Solomon said, I've had all the money, I've had all the women, I've had everything. He says, the bottom line is, none of that brings happiness. None of that brings joy. None of that brings satisfaction. He says, the only thing that I found in life that satisfied me was my relationship with God, was my obedience to the commands of God. You know when Solomon was the happiest in life? When he was following his own instructions. You remember at the end of Solomon's life, he didn't even follow his own instructions. He went against his own wisdom. Somehow, his power as king superseded his sense, right? And so he was overcome by lusts and sins, and he married 700 wives and took 300 concubines, 1,000 women. Boy, he derailed, didn't he? He got messed up because he got beyond his own counsel. He got beyond his own wisdom. Now, in the book of Proverbs, when you read the book of Proverbs, Solomon basically takes the book and he categorizes it into three different people. And that's the three people that I want to look at tonight, because those three people will categorize everybody in this room. No one will escape the category of one of these three areas, because when you read the book of Proverbs, all three people are represented in everything that Solomon pens. And he kind of gave us a little taste of the first guy that we find here in Proverbs chapter 24. Three guys that I want you to jot down. I want you to jot down a description of these guys, and we're going to look at each one of them tonight for just a few moments. First of all, let me start backwards and from the negative and move to the positive, okay? When you read the book of Proverbs, Solomon says that he noticed in his lifetime that there was a group of people called fools. These are the group of people. This is the guy who sees only things from his perspective. This is the guy that only sees it his way, and will not receive instruction in order to change his ways. Solomon said, I passed a lot of these guys. Matter of fact, one of the guys we have recorded here in Proverbs 24, because he went by his field. You see, a fool thinks, you know what, I can plant a vineyard and don't have to take care of it. The vineyard's going to produce. No, it doesn't work that way. Some things have to be invested in life in order for you to accomplish God's purpose. You see, a fool is the type of person to only think that they can be saved and never have to do anything else for God, that God is going to do everything for them. Folks, listen to me. God is not going to do for you what He's given you the ability to do for yourself. And you and I have to understand that God is a God of just. He's a God of faith. He's a God of guidance and wisdom. But Mr. Fool represents the first group of people that Solomon describes in the book of Proverbs. The second group of people that he describes is the group that I want to call, the Bible calls them simple. The Bible calls them, this is the group of the people that fall into the group of simple. This is the guy that takes no position on anything. He just kind of goes through life. What happens is fine. What doesn't happen is fine. And we'll learn about him in just a moment. But I want to introduce you to the third group of people, and that is the people that actually have developed a teachable spirit, and that is those that fall in the category of the wise. This is a guy who sees things the way God sees them. This is a guy that when he goes through life, he considers what God's views are, he considers what God's will is and God's plan is before he ever makes a decision.
You see, the fool never considers that. The simple knows what the Bible says, but a lot of times he never abides by it. And the wise man knows what the Word of God says, and he considers God's will. You see, the fool could care less about God and care less maybe about the Bible and maybe even about church. The simple man, listen now, he's not against God. He's not against the Bible. He's not against church. He just doesn't think that it's necessary in order for him to be successful in life. He figures that, you know what, I can do things my way and get by. But the wise man knows that he needs God. The wise man knows that he needs the Bible and he needs church in order to be balanced in his life and to be right with God. A wise man understands I've got to have these things in my life or I cannot survive. You see, the wise man is made wiser. The simple man does not take anything seriously enough to receive instruction about his decisions, and the fool thinks he knows everything. He has a hard position on everything, but the fool never seems to have anything to support his position. You see, his mind is made up, and he will not be confused with the facts, because he's already got his mind made up what he's going to do. You see, what God put in the Bible, he put there to keep you and I from making the same errors and mistakes that many of the people made in the Bible. Hold your place there in Proverbs 24. Go to Romans chapter 15. Let me show you a verse here. Romans 15 and verse 4, if you'll turn there quickly. Romans 15 and verse number 4. The scripture reads, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime." What do you think that means? Could it possibly mean the things that have been written before Paul had written this verse? He said everything from that point forward, all the way back to creation. He says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written, look at this now, for our learning. That we through patience has a lot to do with diligence. Patience also has a lot to do with long suffering. It has a lot to do with determination to learn what the truth is and learn from other people's mistakes. He says that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that means that if I don't know this book and learn from the mistakes of the characters book, it doesn't seem like I got much hope in life, right? Does it seem that I got much hope of success if I do not apply the mistakes that others have made and realize I don't have to be like some of these people? I can make a difference in my life. Why? Just making a different choice. But I can learn from them. Hey, there's a lot of lessons that we can learn from the Bible. We can learn such things as that we're to be separate from the world, right? There's a reason that we're to be separate from the world. We also can learn things like the company that we're to keep in life. There are some people that we ought to be able to have friendships with, but the Bible says there are some people we ought not to have friendships with. We ought to be separate from them and not keep company with them. It talks about what happens when we get into a position and backslide from God. It also has instruction about marriage, about child rearing, on and on and on. A lot of lessons can be learned from the Word of God, but a teachable spirit's necessary if we're going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Now, flip back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 4. Now, you're going to need your Bible because we're going to turn to quite a bit of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, take fast hold on instruction. That means to get a grip on it and squeeze it. He says, take fast hold on instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, now look at this last phrase, for she is thy life. He said, if you do not gain instruction through a teachable spirit, your life will end in destruction like many of the people that we're going to look at here in just a moment. Their life ended up that way. Can I just say something off subject here just a minute? The reason America is in the trouble that we're in today is because we didn't learn from history. Because we're doing and making some of the same mistakes that we've made over and over and over, listen to me, thinking that we're going to have a different result. And we're not going to have a different result. We're going to see the same things happen that happened to some of those before us. The citizens of America haven't learned either. So many of us repeat the bad mistakes that we've made for years simply because we refuse to learn anything from past mistakes. You see, in America, we're going by the field of the slothful, but we will not consider it. We won't take a second look at it. We won't determine what caused that to happen. So we do not receive instruction. I'm just going to be honest with you folks, okay? It doesn't take a whole lot of sense to figure out that the government system that was set up in America, if it was to be run by anything other than a Christian foundation, it could not operate. That's the reason our forefathers established it on a Christian foundation, because it was never meant to be run by anybody else. It was never meant to be established and to be organized and to be put to practice by anybody else. That's the reason that, listen, when we go to the polls in about a week or so, you need to let your values cast your vote for you. You need to let your desires and the liberty of America and the freedoms that this country stands for cast your vote for you. Amen. Get so tired of people, Christian people. Well, I'm this or I'm that. Well, how about what God thinks for once? Okay, instead of what a party thinks, how about what God thinks? Would that be okay? Would it be okay for us to vote the values of the Bible? We're Christians, right? Now, all I'm saying to you tonight is America has gotten in the position that we're in because we have not learned from past mistakes. And folks, listen, if we don't learn from past mistakes, America is on the road to destruction. We better learn. We better learn. Now let me cover the first man, the first group that Solomon mentioned in Scripture here. And that is the group called the fools. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 18 if you would please. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 2. Proverbs 18 and verse number 2. Here's what the Scripture reads. By the way, the fool is the man that has an unteachable spirit. His spirit is self-imposed, self-governed, and self-inflicted. Look what it says about a fool. A fool hath no delight in understanding. It means, you know what? He doesn't even consider it. Why? Because he's already made his mind up. He's not teachable. That's the reason when you go out soul-winning and knock a door and you talk to somebody about Christ, a lot of them have already made their mind up. And you talk to them and say, listen, you need to come to church. I think it'll help you. I think the fellowship, they've already made their mind up that all churches are like. They don't want to be a part of any of them. They've already made their mind. Why? Because they have an unteachable spirit. But he said, the fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Now listen, you say, what is he talking about right there? Here's what a fool does. He despises understanding. He despises instruction, even though his heart is telling him otherwise. He does it regardless of the fact. Now, listen to me. Do you know that everybody has the knowledge of God? There is no such thing as atheists. Atheists are self-proclaimed. I said atheists are self-proclaimed. Because if we believe the Bible, then all men have the knowledge of God. And you cannot unteach that. Somebody has to choose to be one. And so we find here that an atheist, a person that self-proclaims himself that he doesn't believe in God, is a man with an unteachable spirit. Because his own conscience, the Bible says, is contrary to what he's believing. It's telling him that there's a God in heaven. Let me give you a couple of things about a fool. First of all, he repeats the same mistakes over and over. He does the same thing over and over. You've heard the definition of insanity, right? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's what it is. That's a fool. That's a Bible fool. That's somebody that does not have a teachable spirit. They enjoy affliction. And see, it never seems to register to them that his own choices are the causes of his own hurts. Now, you want me to tell you something else about a fool? A lot of times it's everybody else's fault, it's never theirs. It's always somebody else's fault, it's never theirs. Because they couldn't possibly be wrong, right? And yet they see it never registers with them that it's their choices that cause their pain. He neither learns from principle or the mistakes of others or even his own mistakes. Everything seems to happen chance with a fool. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 23. And I want you to listen to this verse. The scripture says, it is sport to a fool to do mischief. Now, I'm going to make some comments, right? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm going to tell you like it is, all right? You know what a fool is? A fool is a person that never takes anything seriously. They always want to be a clown. Okay? They always want to be a clown. They always want the center of attention. Listen now, even if they have to do something wrong to get it. They always want the attention of others. They have no teachable spirit when it comes to the things of God. They always want to be the class clown or the church clown or whatever it is. You see, they always want the center of attention. They never take anything serious. Listen, they consider life as nothing but one big game. And it's just however they play the game, however much they can get away with, the more they get away with, the more challenging life becomes to them. You see, nothing is serious to a fool. He laughs at the calamity of others. Listen, and sometimes will even laugh at his own calamities. He'll even laugh at his own destruction. He demands attention even, again, if it's at the expense of others or if it's expense of doing something wrong. Now, I want you to listen, church. This is the person who contracts forms of STD. If you don't know what that is, it's sexually transmitted diseases. And then gets mad because he contracts it. Now listen. And then continues on in his immoral lifestyle, passing it on to other people. You know what that is? That's a fool. That's someone that knows that he's wrong, but he's made up his mind. I don't care what I have. I'm going to do what I want to do. That is an unteachable spirit right there. Proverbs 12 verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Everything he does is okay with him. Why? Because he only operates with his definitions. He only operates under his definitions and his terms. No one can teach him because his mind is already made up. Here's something else about a fool. He's developed a spirit of stubbornness that it is his way or the highway. It's either my way or no other way. Now, folks, listen, I know that nobody in here has ever battled stubbornness. Right? Nobody in here has ever thought, you know what? No, I believe this is the way it ought to be. And you just honkered down. You didn't matter who was going. You were, listen, some of you young people, your parents called you bullheaded. Okay? That you decided, you know what? No, this is the way it's going to be. And I'm not going to change. You see, listen to me, if you're not careful, that's the attitude of a fool. That's the attitude of an unteachable spirit right there. But a fool decides what he's going to do, and he doesn't care, listen now, if it's right or wrong, or who agrees or disagrees. He's already decided, this is what I'm going to do. Proverbs 14:16 says, a fool rageth, listen now, and is confident. Listen, even though he's wrong, he's going to fight to the bitter end for what he thinks is the right thing to do. But he knows he's wrong. You remember when you were in school? Anybody here on debate teams? You on a debate team? Okay. All right. Oh, well. But anyway, there were things in high school that most of us didn't get involved in called debate teams. And what would happen is in the debate class, what they would do is they would have a subject. They would give one group the position of defending a position, a certain position, and then they would give another group over here another position to defend on the same subject. And they would argue one would normally be positive, the other would normally be negative. Now the thing about it is those who debated the negative, knowing that what they were trying to defend was wrong, that's tough, right? It's tough trying to stand up and defend something that you know is wrong. But listen to me. A fool can do it without any problems. Why? Because his spirit's unteachable. He's already got his mind made up in life. You see, a fool's confidence causes him to have an unteachable spirit. Thus, he has little to no character in life. He doesn't believe that the same decision of error will produce the same hurtful results. I don't mean how many of you have ever met a gambling addict. You ever met a guy that's got a gambling addiction? Here's what I always hear from them. Well, preacher, you don't know, my luck's going to change. Right? So, isn't that right they say? But preacher, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but that's all right. Listen, I spent $1 on the lottery, and though I've got 1 in 65 billion chance, my day's coming. Not in this life, it's not. And the best I can tell, I don't think there's a lottery in the millennium. You see, what I'm saying is a fool has the attitude of a gambler that's addicted to gambling. He's like, my luck's going to change any minute. Any minute I can do the same thing and my luck's going to change. I'm here to tell you, if you're not abiding by the Scripture, it will never change. Let God be true and every man a liar. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. You see, we need to learn from Bible fools. Let me give you a couple of them to think about. Remember in Luke chapter 12, remember the rich man? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, here's what you do. He said, you don't commit adultery. You don't commit, you don't lie. And he went on and went through a list of things. And the rich man said, oh, I've already done all those. He said, okay, then sell everything you have and give to the poor. And the rich man went away sorrowful. He didn't do what Jesus told him to do. He went away sorrowful because he had much riches. Now, what can we learn from that guy? I tell you what we can learn. He was a fool. Here's a guy that came wanting to know, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, this is what you're going to have to do to be saved. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn to Christ. And he refused to do so. May I remind you, in Luke chapter 16, he gave us another illustration of a guy that was a rich man that had a poor man that sat at his gate with his sores and the dogs licked his sores. The guy's name was Lazarus. The rich man's not even given his name. But you know what came to both of them? They both died. What can we learn from that story? We're going to die. But you know something? Listen now. We laugh at that, but you know, a fool doesn't think he's ever going to die. He thinks he's just going to go on and on and on and on, and he is invincible. I wonder how many fools are in hell today. I think probably a great majority of the people in hell lived the life on earth as a fool. What can we learn from that rich man? What didn't he do? Well, first of all, he didn't pay attention to Lazarus' testimony at all, did he? Because if he would have, he might have come to Christ. What else can we learn from him? Listen, one of the things that we can learn is this. God does want to save everybody. But God's not going to do some miraculous and send some divine letter from heaven to your kin folks to get them saved. He gave you the ability. Remember I told you God's not going to do for you what he's given you the ability to do for yourself? God's given you two hands. You know what they're good for? He's given you a voice. You know what it's good for? Pick up the phone and call your loved ones. Why? Because it's your responsibility and my responsibility to witness to them. You see, we need to learn. I hope there's nobody in here tonight that falls in this category of an unteachable spirit. This guy will eventually wreck his life. And listen, and the lives of those around him. So Solomon categorizes one group as fools in the Bible. Well, let's look at the second group of people. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, if you would. Proverbs chapter 1. The second group that Solomon draws attention to is a group called the simple. Now this is the guy that has no position. So what he does, he ends up having to learn from his own mistakes.
Now, the fool never learns because he's always right. But the simple, it's not that he's anti-God, anti-Bible, or anti-church. It's, listen, simple would be a person that would come to church. He would hear the preacher teach and preach about a particular subject that would destroy his life, and then he leaves church and goes does it that very night. And then after he does it, he calls the preacher, "Preacher, can you come to my house and pray with me?" What happened, man? I went out and I got all frustrated. And so the preacher goes over and has prayer with him, and he said, "Oh, preacher, I love you." Now listen, he learned, but he learned the hard way. And listen, he didn't learn till after the fact. That's the simple guy. That's the guy that, listen, he's not anti-everything. It's just that he believes it. He thinks, you know, and the thing about it, he's not against anybody. He just doesn't think that he needs to have church. He doesn't think he needs to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He doesn't think he needs that. He thinks that he can show up Sunday morning once or twice a month, and that's fine with him. His gut's full. That's the simple guy. But let me tell you something. Listen now. That's also the guy that the first time something goes cattywampus. I don't know where that came from. I hadn't said that in a long time. But that's the kind of guy that derails, and the first person he calls somebody in the church. You see, because he's not anti-church. It's just that he doesn't think he needs it to survive. Now I want you to listen. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 22. He says, "How long, ye simple..." Remember, this is a guy that takes no position, that learns from his own mistakes. He says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love the practice of simplicity?" In other words, how long are you going to live the life of learning from your own mistakes? How many times are you going to have to do this before you learn this is going to hurt you? Now listen very carefully. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Listen, the simple guy, here's what he does. He's the guy that has somebody walking in front of him, and he sees the guy walk by, and about that time a rattlesnake bites him. He thinks, "Oh man, that guy got bit by a rattlesnake." That guy's going, So this guy goes over here and cranks over. Pretty soon he goes into convulsions and dies. And the simple guy's watching this. He's like, "Now I just said, you know, he's the guy that reasoned, okay, this guy had bad luck. He just had bad luck, this bad fortune. Oh, it was his time." So you know what he does? He goes and walks right down the same path. And he walks right by the rattlesnake sitting there, and he walks right by, and guess what the rattlesnake does? Pop! And pops him too. So he falls on the ground, he's going, and pretty soon he has convulsions and dies. Now the thing about it is, you say, "Well, that guy's lost his mind." That's called a simple guy. He sees what happens to other people's lives. He sees what hurts them. He sees what destroys them. But you know what? Sometimes he thinks he's the exception to the rule. "It's not going to happen to me. It's going to happen to me. Hey, yeah, you know what? Some of you folks, you may be able to stay out of church and stuff. I can stay out of church. It ain't going to hurt me. Once a month's fine to me." You know why? Because he's developed a religion by his own criteria, and he lives within the definitions of what he defines as religion, what he defines as church. So he lives within that. That's the simple guy. Listen, this guy has to commit his own errors to learn. He's not cautious, but careless. Listen, he's not stupid. He just doesn't have any spiritual common sense. Now listen, folks, it doesn't take a science, start to say rocket scientist. I'm going to skip Brother Waits this time. Listen, it doesn't take a scientist to figure out rattlesnake bite dead. Rattlesnake bite me dead. Rattlesnake bite you dead. Right? It doesn't take a whole lot of sense to figure that out. Now, I'm just saying to you folks, the simple guy says rattlesnake bite you dead, rattlesnake bite me, I don't die. Or he will not even bite me. Now, folks, listen to me. We laugh at that, but some of the people sitting under the sound of my voice right there are falling into this category. Because you think that you can do whatever you want, and God's just going to wink at it. Now, you know what he said? He said he did wink at one time, but today he commands men everywhere to repent.
and turn back to God. You see, it's going to come back and bite you. You see, Mr. Simple only understands pain and sorrow which he inflicts upon himself. Hold your place there. Look, if you would, in Psalm 19. Turn to Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7. Psalm chapter 19 and verse number 7. You'll recognize it when you get there. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. What's the law of the Lord? Would that happen to be the Bible you hold in your hand? Yeah, it's the Word of God. It's perfect. Now listen, if something's perfect, that means whenever it's applied, it will add salve to the wound, right? And when it adds salve to the wound will be healed, correct? He said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Listen now, the testimony of the Lord. In other words, the principles, the precepts, the ethics that are taught in the Scripture. He says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, listen, making wise who? The simple. Now, the simple guy, he's not wise, but if he'll apply the principles, the testimonies, the precepts of the Word of God, he can move from the simple category to the wise category. He can move from the category of learning from his own mistakes to the category of learning from others' mistakes. Now, the simple guy is a student in the school of hard knocks. Anybody ever been enrolled in that school? One of these days, I'm hoping to graduate. But see, the simple guy, he inflicts really his own pain and hurt on himself because he doesn't learn from others' mistakes. He learns the hard way. You see, this is a bad way to be taught. It's a rough way. It's a hurtful, it's a painful way to be taught. But listen, it's not near as bad as if you go through it and don't learn. It is good and profitable if you go through it and do learn. But God wants you to move from the simple to the wise. Let me ask you this. I've been around horses before. When I was a kid, my dad used to have a piece of property or lease a piece of property. We used to keep a bunch of horses on there. We'd go out and ride horses on Saturday. And I don't know how many of you have ever been kicked by a horse. I've been kicked one time. And can I say to you, that's all it took. Because, you know what? When I got kicked by a horse, I realized if I get too close, that horse will kick me again. So I got in my head as a kid, I knew about the distance I needed to stay away from that horse. Now folks, listen to me. That's just common sense. Now listen, you know what a simple guy does? He gets kicked by the horse. He said, golly, you know, that really hurt the last time. But you know, I don't think he's going to do it again. So he walks up behind that horse. That horse says, all right, punt. Now, the simple guy, it's a rough way to get taught. But you know, I get kicked by a horse, I know about what distance to stay away from him. Remember in Daniel chapter 4, just write these down. I'll give you a few stories here and move to the last one. Remember Daniel chapter 4? Remember where Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream and Daniel interpreted that dream? And the dream that he interpreted was that Nebuchadnezzar was all swollen with pride. And that one day, you know what God was going to do? He was going to hew that tree right down to the ground. Now the thing about it is, Nebuchadnezzar said, oh, man, I sure hate that. And that I dreamed that, and that's the interpretation thereof. But listen, he had been warned of his pride in a dream. Daniel had forewarned him and interpreted the dream for him. Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful king. Listen now. But simple in his learning ability. Because you know what he did? He did the exact thing. He went out and said, looked at his kingdom. He said, you know what? Man, I did all this. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you are some king. About that time, he thought, man, I'm starting to itch. And you know the Bible says that the hair grew on his body like the feathers of a bird. His claws turned in like the claws of an animal. And listen, God drove him out of the kingdom into the fields. He lived like a beast. Listen to me. Not for 7 days. Not for 7 weeks. 7 years he lived like a beast. Now the thing about it is, Nebuchadnezzar learned. Because after that, guess what? when God restored him to the kingdom, he said, God is God. Right? Yeah, the God of Daniel, he's God. Anybody else worships that God, you're in trouble. He's God. You know why? You know how he learned? He learned because he swore up with pride and God slapped the fire and put him out in the field and living like a beast, eating grass like a cow. Can you imagine little kids walking down the street? Mommy, who's that man out there? That's our king. But Mommy, he's eating grass. He's got hair. He looks like a bird. He's got old long claws. And he looks terrible. Yeah, I know. He didn't have to be that way, but he walked out one day and thought all this was his doing. And next thing we know, he's out there eating grass with the cows. Now, the thing about it is, you know what? He learned, though, folks. Because when he got out from that, he said, God's God. He learned, but he was simple in learning. How about, remember John Mark in Acts chapter 13? Remember when they got to Perga in Pamphylia? The Bible says that John Mark turned back. Now listen, I don't know all the circumstances of why, but when it came time to go back on a missionary journey, Paul said, we're not taking him. Barnabas said, yeah, we are. Because obviously, Paul thought, if we take him again, he's going to make the same mistake. If we take him again, he's going to make the same decision. Paul felt that John Mark had a simple mentality. And so he didn't want to take it. But then you read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11, getting toward the end of Paul's life, he said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And listen, John Mark gets a hard time from preachers. But let me tell you something. Here's one thing that he did do. It seems to me he must have learned. Whatever decision that he made in Perga, he must have learned from it, because Paul said, bring him to me now, because now he's profitable to me for the ministry. He learned. Remember old Peter? Well, you're talking about somebody who went through the school of hard knocks. Peter constantly made claims he could not keep. You ever done that? Constantly made claims he could not keep. Boasted of how loyal he would be regardless of what the circumstances were. Remember the day he rebuked Jesus for speaking of his death, burial, and resurrection? Grabbed him. And the Lord said, oh, bless you, little Peter. No, he said, you know what? Get thee behind me, Satan. He said, you know what? You've got the spirit that I am going to rebuke. You've got the spirit of trying to stop me from fulfilling my will. Peter rebuked Jesus. Remember when he slept when he's supposed to be praying? Remember he sunk in the sea when he could have walked on the water to Jesus and walked out there to him? You say, what caused him to sink, preacher? He did walk a little bit, yeah, but not as far as he could have. Why? He began to look around him and he began to see. Remember he got angry and cut off Malchus' ear in direct disobedience to the Lord. Remember he ran like the rest of the apostles when they came and took Jesus. Remember, Peter warmed his hands with the world while denying he even knew Jesus. He denied the resurrection testimony of the women, and then eventually in John 21 went back to the fishing business. He said, boy, that guy's on a roller coaster. Man, his wheels came totally off his life. But listen now. Peter fell into the category of the simple for a great portion of Jesus' ministry. But in John 21, something totally happened. Jesus called him and said, come here, I'm tired of you living the simple. He said, I'm going to give you one shot at this. Lovest thou me more than these? Oh Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Lovest thou me more than these? Yes, feed my lambs. Lovest thou me more than... Yes, feed my lambs. Oh Lord, you know... Listen, Peter got distraught that last time, didn't he? Lord, you know I love thee. Now listen... On that seaside that day, something totally changed in this guy. You know what totally changed in him? He went from the category of the simple to the wise. He went from learning from his own mistakes to starting to learn from somebody else's. You say, how do we know that Peter got it? Go read Acts chapter 2 and you tell me if he got it or not. Go read Acts chapter 5. You tell me whether he got it or not. I don't know many people in here who preached two sermons, saw 8,000 people saved. That's pretty good. 8,000 saved and 3,000 baptized. I think most people take that in an entire ministry, much less one day, 2 days, 3 days, two sermons. You see, Peter got it, but you know what? He fell into the category of the simple. You see, the simple man does not learn from principle, counsel, his own mistakes, or mistakes of others, or Bible instruction. He seems to be bent on pain and hurt and learning from his own mistakes. I don't know, maybe raise your hand. I wonder how many people in here fall into that category of the simple. Listen, this is a guy, it's not that he doesn't have a teachable spirit or can't obtain that. It's just that he keeps doing the same thing over and over again, and he keeps getting in trouble. He learns, he weeps, he cries out to God. The problem is then he goes back and does it again. So he learns, but he learns the hard way. All that leads us to the best group. And that's the teachable spirit. That's the wise. That's the wise. He knows he must learn, listen, but he also knows that he must learn from the proper sources. You see, I don't have to go into a bar or strip joint to know what's inside there. Amen. Now, I don't have to go preach inside there to know what's inside there. I know. I don't have to go and be a part of something to know that it will defile me. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. You see, the wise man has a teachable spirit and he'll learn from his Bible. He'll learn from the pastor. He'll learn from preaching. He'll learn from the experience of other people who have failed and injured themselves. You know what? This is the guy Solomon's talking about when he says, I went by the field of the slothful. Remember the sequence? I saw, I considered, I looked. He said, it got my attention. I considered it. I thought, man alive, what is going on? He said, then I looked and I thought, what caused this? That's how you get wisdom. That's how you obtain a teachable spirit. You go through the sequence. You see, you consider, you look and understand and evaluate what got a person to this point. I'm not going to go there, but you can take in your spare time and read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 there. And you'll find there some very, very important instruction about the learning process. You see, if we don't apply the development sequence of learning as Solomon gave us, we're going to have a difficult time in our life. Let me give you a couple of illustrations here. First of all, I want to say this. A wise man can learn, and we better learn from an illustration that we read in Judges chapter 11. We better learn from Jephthah's irrational vows. Remember Jephthah? He says, you know what, Lord? You give me the victory over my enemy. I believe it was the Ammonites. He said, you give me the victory over my enemy. He says, when I return home, the first thing that I see, the first thing that comes out to greet me, I'll sacrifice that to you. Now, folks, listen. First of all, that was a stupid vow. He shouldn't have done it. But you say, well, preacher, is it wrong to make vows? No, it's just wrong to make thoughtless vows. It's wrong to make vows that you know good and well you can't keep. Now listen, you say, now listen, I'm going over the top here, but I'll just use this illustration. That's like taking, like say at missions conference, that's like taking your commitment card and you mark on there, I'm going to give $1,000 a week. When you know you can't possibly give $1,000 a week. You say, well, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to make this vow and I'm going to trust God. And listen, I know this is contrary to what a lot of people think, but you know inside that cranium up there, God gives you a brain. Yeah. If you'll rattle around a little bit, you'll hear it. It's up there. You see, the thing about it is God's not against you giving to missions. He just doesn't want you to make an irrational vow. And we need to learn from Jephthah's irrational vow. It wasn't wrong that he made a vow. It's just he made a thoughtless vow. It's foolish to vow something, listen now, just because somebody else does. You see, it's careless to vow to God in exchange for a favor. And folks, people do this, unfortunately, all the time. Lord, I'll do this if you'll do this. Lord, you know what? I promise you, if you let me win the lottery, I'll give you $50. Lord, just listen. Listen, I hear it all the time. Oh, preacher. I'm telling you, if God will just answer this prayer, I'm telling you, we'll never have to worry about another thing. Folks, listen, I learned a long time ago, I don't make deals with God. You know why? Because I found out, Brother Shaddix, he's not in the deal-making business. You see, what I'm trying to say to you tonight is this, church, we need to learn from Jephthah's irrational vows. Oh, by the way, we need to learn also from a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira who pulled a foolish trick also. When everybody was selling their goods, bringing it to laying it at the disciples' feet, they sold a portion of land, made a little more money than they anticipated. They thought, nobody will know this. The thing about it is, God knows. So they stashed it away. Peter comes to him and said, you brought everything you got? He said, yep. He said, liar. Holy Spirit kills him. Take him out. His wife comes in. Hey, sweetie. Your husband? Did y'all bring everything to the apostles that you sold? Well, yes, Pastor Peter. Well, I was hoping you was going to have a different answer than that. Holy Spirit goes, okay, Dad took her out and buried her with him. You say, what's the lesson that we need to learn there? Don't lie to God. Don't make foolish vows. Don't make foolish commitments that you have no intentions of keeping. Can I say this? A wise man, not only can we learn from Jephthah's irrational vows, but you know what else we can learn from? We can learn from Gehazi's covetousness. Remember Gehazi, Elisha's servant? Remember, Elisha heals Naaman. Remember that? And Naaman tries to give Elisha gold, silver, garments, all these things. And Elisha said, no, no, no. I don't want none of that. He said, I'm not in this for money. He said, I don't want any. And Naaman insists. He said, no. Now, Gehazi, his servant, standing back, thinking, you know what we could do with that? Come on, preacher, you know what our church could do with all that money? So Naaman leaves. So Gehazi's like, hey, Elisha, I need to run an errand. Do you mind if I take a little time off? No, that's fine. Okay, so he goes out the back door. So he gets on his horse. And he chases Naaman down. Now listen, he said, my master said, now listen, here's what he's insinuating, that Elisha changed his mind. Elisha didn't change his mind. Gehazi goes out there and he says, hey, listen, my master changed his mind. We'll go ahead and take you up on that offer. Naaman's like, are you sure about it? Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and give it to me. And listen, he rides back into town, goes and stashes in his own house. Then he goes in before Elisha. I'm back. Where you been? Oh, just running a few errands. Liar. Now listen, what I'm saying is, basically, go check me out. Basically, the bottom line, here's what Elisha is saying. You think I'm stupid? Do you think I have no contact with God? He said, did you not see how God used me and I gave that man the commandment that he was to go dip himself in the Jordan River and he was healed? Did you not learn? We better learn from Gehazi's covetousness. See, he lusted after riches. He lied to get riches. He disobeyed his authority. And you know what the end result was? Leprosy. That's what he got. We better learn from it. A wise man will. We better learn from David's disobedience. Remember in 2 Samuel chapter 13? You see, his choice of not going to war is what started the whole roller coaster downhill. One choice. And he chose to stay back. There we know that because he stayed back, he saw Bathsheba, he committed adultery with her. Listen, it would not have happened. He'd have been at battle. If he'd have been where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. You see, if he would have been in battle and seen her, he would not have turned aside because he would be too occupied with other important matters. But he didn't. He stayed behind. We better learn from David's disobedience because, let me ask you this, did David get away with it? Mm-mm. No, David didn't get away with anything. Why? Because the principle, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did it hurt only him or did it hurt other people? Or hurt a lot of people. Cost that little baby his life. And it hurt David for the rest of his life. Let me give you a couple more and I'm done. We better learn from Lot's path of convenient Christianity. You hear what I'm saying?
Lot chose the path of least resistance. Where'd that get him? You know what started his downfall? When he made the statement, I think I'll take the direction of the well-watered plains. Now, wait a minute. Sodom and Gomorrah was there. Yeah, but he wasn't concerned about them. He thought he was strong enough. I'll get past that. I'm just looking for the area that I want for myself that's most prosperous. Listen, Lot's problem started with his decision about the well-watered plain. He thought he could stay close to convenience and stay separate from the vices. You know why? Because living in Sodom and Gomorrah was a convenient lifestyle. Hey, nobody's going to bug me about my Christianity here. Nobody's going to talk to me about witnessing here. I'm not going to have to go to church here. I'd read my Bible here. Nobody here is going to press me about my Christianity. You see, what is convenient, church, listen, what is convenient and what is right are seldom the same. Did you hear that? I said, what is convenient and what is right are seldom the same. Believers who opt for convenient Christianity usually do not end up serving God long term. So you know what we need to do? We need to stop trying to do what is easy and just do what is right. And stop pulling a lot. Learn that the life of convenience is not what Scripture teaches. Why would God say, you know what, get saved? It's going to be, Christianity is going to be so convenient for you. Why would He say that and then come back and tell us that we're to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ? That we're to endure hardness as a good soldier. And they that live righteously in Christ Jesus might suffer persecution. Might suffer 50% of persecution. No, He said will suffer persecution. Let me give you one more. We better learn from Jonah's unconcern for souls. Jonah was given a pretty simple job, right? Go preach to Nineveh. Revival's going to break out. I'm going to save the city. Seems simple job. Problem is, the people that he was told to go witness to had been skinning Jews alive for a long time. Had been the enemy of the people of God. And Jonah rationalized, wait a minute. Why would God want to save them? Well, let me ask you this. Why would God want to save you? Why would He want to save me? So Jonah says, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do that. Because you know what we do? Here's what we do. God gives us a direct command. We know in our spirit it's a right command, and then we talk ourselves out of it. Amen. Listen to me. I want you to listen to me well. Some of you young men that are in this congregation have been called to preach, and you've talked yourself out of it. And you know why? Because a little adversity came. Because one day you were going along your business and pretty soon the next thing you saw was a whale with his mouth open coming at you. That's what Jonah saw. Listen, you know when Jonah learned? Jonah learned when he got vomited up on the shore. Now listen, he went and did the job and he didn't like it. Can I say something in Christianity? You're going to have to do some things you ain't going to like. You don't going to like everything, but you know you do it because it's the right thing to do. You don't do it because it's convenient. We do it because it is right. We better learn from Jonah's lack of concern for souls. Well, go back if you would to Proverbs 24. Let's read it one more time. We're done. Proverbs 24, verse number 30. Solomon said, I went by the field. You know what? He had to make himself available. He had to expose himself. Some of us are so afraid to walk out into the world. Listen, folks, we are in the world. We don't have to be of the world. But you do live in it, right? Just like I do. You can't escape it. So we're going to have to go out. But he says, when you go out, he said, this particular day I saw the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Bless you. Void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Now here it is. I saw, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and received instruction. You know what instruction he got? Look at the next verse. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. And listen, that's what he deducted is why that field was like that. You know what you need to deduct? When you look,
You need to come to a conclusion. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding your hands sleep. But listen, church, he didn't come to that conclusion by not being out among people. He came to that conclusion because he saw, he considered, he looked again and says, what caused this? Because whatever caused this, I'm going to avoid it. That is how you develop a teachable spirit. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it.